We're joined by Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, on a Tommy Tuesday. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am tremendous. How are you, Adam? How are you, Richard?
Excellent. Tremendous, as always.
Tremendous.
Tommy, is where we're at. What are you hearing on the coordinator search? Why are we, at least we on the outside, me and Keith, I don't know what you're hearing. Why aren't we hearing much?
I'm not hearing much either. Mm. And I think that there is, I think there's a real concrete effort by Mike Vrabel, and I'll leave it at Mike Vrabel, because I think he's really kind of the point of the spear for everything, which is, I think, to the good. He wants to clean things up right now. He wants to have things buttoned down. He does not want leaks. He's not calling Rappaport and Schefter. He's not dropping a ton of nuggets around to local reporters. And I think that is very intentional. So why are we not hearing much about coordinators? And really, in essence, it's a lot of our speculation, given what we can do with connecting dots. It remains, I think, Josh McDaniels is an offensive coordinator candidate. There are other candidates that we've had mentioned on both sides of the ball, but we're not getting much. And I kind of do think that that's an encouraging tack by Vrabel right now to, and I just don't think the head coach is always, you know, on the phone or on the text telling people things, but I think that buttoning up around the organization might not be a horrendous idea, even though it hurts us. It really does. It makes it difficult for us to give people the information or indications that we would like to give them, even just to give indications, here's where they might be heading. I think that it's probably productive for them to try and trim it back.
You know, as the year played out and Vrabel wasn't a head coach, I'm sure, first of all, he was a bit surprised that he wasn't a head coach in 2024. But as the year played out and he was looking to line up another job and get back in, do you think he had sort of the ideal coaching staff in mind then? Like, so as soon as he was hired, not that you immediately sign everybody that day, but as he's kind of playing it out in his mind, do you think he had the ideal offensive coordinator for whenever he was going to get his next job all set?
I think, of course.
Yeah.
But like, if you and I were in that position, or even Jones, who can be a little bit haphazard.
If you and I were
in that position,
yeah,
we had a whole friggin' year off, and we had the opportunity to get a $10 million position. We would sit there, and I don't know how much he's being paid. We would say, well, boy, I better have a staff around me. So I can't imagine that he would not have that staff. You know, you can say McDaniels and the Patriots could hire him tomorrow. Does Josh want to be here? Are there other opportunities for him? Does Vrabel look at some of the people who have been involved in the playoffs right now and are coming available, for instance, you know, now that there's more opportunity to interview them, and is looking at those guys? Is he interested in Chip Kelly from Ohio State, having been there? I'm intrigued by Chip Kelly, honestly. I look at Chip Kelly. What was that noise?
I said, I don't know. That was Keith. I just said same.
You could hear me nodding. I was nodding, and Keith said same. We both like Chip Kelly as well, yeah.
I do, too. And I think the people, oh, I want the baby face coordinator who barely just started shaving because I don't know how bad. Look, he got 27 touchdowns and 2 picks out of Nick Foles. I know it didn't go great at San Francisco, but he is an innovative guy, despite the fact that his birth date is in the 60s, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Might be the 50s.
60s.
So to me, I like Chip Kelly. He's a Manchester, New Hampshire native, coached at UNH. Has been at Ohio State, knows Mike Vrabel. It intrigues me.
Talking to Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday on a Tommy Tuesday. Who would you rather be? Just coach quarterback combination. I know you ranked these the other day, so maybe the answer is there. I don't know that we knew the Bears head coach at the time. Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams, or Mike Vrabel, Drake May? Who would you rather be?
I would say, who would I rather be or who would I rather have?
Yeah, fine. Who would you rather have? Word it however you want.
I would probably rather be, if I'm a fan, May Vrabel. And it sounds like a homer answer, but I don't know if Ben Johnson is Adam Gase or Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay. I have no idea what he is. And having Jameson Williams throw a football in the fourth quarter of a game, it's the guy who was humping the sideline after a touchdown just an hour earlier, I'm not sure about his decision-making prowess.
That was a good celebration.
It was a great celebration.
I like that celebration.
May have trusted the wrong guy, though. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, you can like it, but whatever. I mean, it's okay at a comedy club or at a concert, but I mean, whatever. Anyway, to me, it was a horrible idea. And even Brady had to mutter a little bit about, yeah, I'm not sure if you want to have anybody. And it's funny because I'm sitting there watching the game with my wife. I said, you never have, down 14, you never have anybody other than your quarterback throwing the football in a playoff game. And I thought to myself, except Julian Edelman.
Yeah, you could do that.
No, they were slinging it around against the Ravens. That's true.
But it was a horrible idea. But I would rather have the Vrabel-May combo because I know what Vrabel is as a head coach, and I have no idea what Ben Johnson is.
You know, when you look at Washington.
You guys don't like that answer.
No, Jones does. I agree with you, Tom. He's a big Ben Johnson guy over there.
Yeah, because you mentioned a guy like Adam Gase, and I look at Adam Gase, and I say, well, that was mostly Peyton Manning. And you look at a guy like McDaniels, and that was mostly Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Jared Goff, who I think kind of stinks, Ben Johnson's got three straight top five offenses, one of the best offenses in the history of football this year. So, but you're right. As a head coach, that is a different animal. So we'll see how that goes. Looking at Washington, though, Tom, the Commanders and the Patriots were in a very similar spot a year ago at this time. The Commanders had a complete overhaul. Owner, head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback, bunch of players. Is there any one aspect of that change that you give the most credit to for the turnaround?
I think Daniels and Kingsbury, just a mind meld of what Kingsbury has given Daniels and Daniels using that palette to make incredible art at the quarterback position. For as skinny as he is, and I was stunned the other day, he's 215 pounds allegedly. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
But for him to be as durable as he has been, as poised as he is, as freaking accurate, I mean, I just keep waiting for horrible throws and misses, and they don't come. He's been brilliant. So I would say that combo right there. But as we talk about Caleb Williams, as we talk about Drake May, as we talk about the coordinators that are going to come in and work with these guys, you can't do the same kind of – who was I talking to the other day? Oh, it was the Eagles. Brian Hoyer texted me about, hey, the Eagles just ran for a touchdown with that play that the Patriots tried to run against the Bills that turned into the backwards lateral sack. And I said, yeah. It's amazing the kind of things you can do dicking around when you actually have protection.
Right.
You can't – these are things the Patriots can't even consider running because it's a free-for-all.
Tom, I'm curious about Robin Glazer, her impending exit from New England. I've listened to you talking about this on NBC Sports Boston, the idea that maybe it's more her choice than it is the organization's choice, that she wasn't happy with some of the commentary about her. Why is she on her way out with the Patriots?
I was told last week that it had not been final and the ball was in her court. If she decided she would be leaving, she would be leaving. So having been told that, that's what I tell the people who listen or watch. She felt as if her role was going to be different coming up with Mayo at the beginning of his tenure last year. She was very visible at the press conference when Mayo was unveiled in the way that I had never seen or spoken to her in the 17 years prior that she had been there. And she was getting a new title and she was very excited about that. We saw her as a presence during training camp. And we heard her mentioned frequently as somebody who was involved in interviews. And again, she was not selecting players. She was doing contracts. We had it explained to us she was in a Jack Mueller type role, he being a contract specialist from Waltham, Massachusetts, former Doug Flutie agent who worked with the Patriots and was very well respected. And she also did a lot of the compliance stuff with the league, which is very important. And the Patriots have just hired a guy named John Stryker, also known as Stretch, to work with Vrabel, who will do a lot of that stuff. But as she became more of a pinata for people and she was visible in the dynasty and had a prominent role in that and the team stunk, she became somebody to bring up as being indicative of the Patriots' problems. And I think that wore on her, whether she was a part of them or not. I don't really know. But when we talk about people, you know, Teddy Bruschi making that comment about people need to be put in their place, I don't know if he was specifically speaking about Robin Glazer, but I think that there is a presumption that is accurate or not. I don't know what Teddy knows or doesn't know, but I was immediately said, man, I wonder if he's talking about Robin Glazer. And then Bill Belichick mentioning Robin Glazer and putting her into the crosshairs. I wonder if she just kind of said, you know what? I really don't need this.
You mentioned Mayo in that answer at first because she was supposed to be working closely with Gerard Mayo. And I'm curious, I don't think we asked you about this, but a couple weeks back, Gerard Mayo's wife on Instagram was just sort of, this was after a couple of stories came out about, you know, Mayo's season, and it obviously wasn't going well, and maybe it seemed like piling on, but she was writing stuff like, it never crossed our minds to tell the truth. I couldn't fathom all the lies we've read that are being told to save face. Whatever happened to class? We've been taking the high road, letting everyone do their thing, blah, 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 blah. And then that kind of fizzled. Unless I've missed it, I feel like that was kind of it. You have any idea what she's referring to?
It seems like the outflow of anecdotal commentary that had Gerard looking like someone who was not in command of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine that it was. It felt more like it was directed toward the media. I haven't texted or spoken with Mayo. I'm sure, you know, I think a lot of people have had a difficult time getting in touch with him. I'm sure he feels a little bit burned, scorned, humiliated. And the stories and anecdotes that come out following are not probably helping with that. So that's my feeling. It didn't seem as if it was directed within the building, but I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't either, because there was plenty of, well, if it wasn't for the coaching staff, we knew what we were doing with the coaching staff, and we heard it basically from the personnel people. Heard it with the Elliot Wolf saying it. So, whether or not Gerard Mayo deserved a second year, I do understand the Patriots' mindset on it, but I think that there's a feeling that, hey, this stuff went too far in humiliating him as a person.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I thought it was like the most unnecessary smear campaign of all time, because most people wanted him out. Most people were like, all right, they made the right move, let's move on. And then it's like, oh, by the way, he didn't have control of the room. It's like, yeah, we got that sense. We watched every game. We listened to all the press conferences. But just the way she worded it, I was wondering, like, is there something about Robert and Jonathan Kraft? Is there something about Elliot Wolf that, like, because I don't know if these are lies necessarily, but she's saying, like, well, the fake stories stop before the real ones come out. I'm like, all right, what are the real stories that we're missing? Like, I didn't know if Gerard Mayo was promised that he could burn cash, for example, and then suddenly he couldn't. Or, like, he thought he was going to get different set of players, and then he didn't. But then that all got kind of wiped away, because Gerard's been very quiet, obviously, since all of this has happened. But this is sort of the one time that we've seen any kind of angle from his camp.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, is there artillery for Gerard Mayo to say, you know what happened with personnel? You know what happened with why we're running these offensive linemen out there? You know, what would have happened if we had started Drake May at the beginning of the year? I mean, all those things could be things that he would like to voice. But, you know, again, the entire season was approached with the Kraft's blessing in many ways, as this is a mulligan year. It's a breakfast ball. Hit it wherever you want, and you're going to be able to hit another one after it. And it didn't work out that way.
Tommy Tuesdays here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI.
This was a good call. I had fun.
This is nice. Well, yeah, this is going really nice.
I actually had more for you.
Oh, wow. Not done yet, Tom.
Do you think, Tom, apologies, you thought you were off the hook.
15 minutes, you usually tell me to shut up at 14. I'll keep going.
Do you think the NFL has a problem with the Chiefs? Just the way that they're officiated, the way they seemingly get every call, probably weird to ask about here in New England, where the Patriots seem to get a good whistle for years and years and years. But between the Mahomes flopping and some of the commentary from Troy Aikman and others over the weekend, do you think the NFL has a problem with the Chiefs?
In their treatment and the perception that it's the fix is in?
Correct.
Yeah, I do. I think perception is sometimes reality. And even though that these officials might look at Patrick Mahomes when he's getting hit and see Chiefs 15 white and say, that's one of the greatest players of all time, I'm not going to be the one who doesn't throw a flag when he gets hammered in the head, and they imagine it, same way they might have with Brady, as opposed to, say, a Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen, because he gets the Shaq treatment because he's so big. Yeah, I think they have a problem because the perception is reality, and it's not been going on for just this past weekend. It goes on and on and on during the regular season. And you know what? I think it really sucks, and it sucked when Brady did it too. The Brady moaning after hits, which were usually warranted moans, but the Mahomes flopping is terrible. So embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You're too good for that. It's a contact sport, especially the weasel stuff that I hate when quarterbacks take part in, like the late slide. That late slide the other day, there should be a 15-yard unsportsmanlike on any quarterback who doesn't hit his ass well before.
Mm-hmm.
You should lose protection if those guys are within one stride of you, one full stride. If you haven't gone down and that guy is less than a stride away, it's on you.
Who do you got winning this weekend? What's your Super Bowl matchup?
I don't know if I'm really interested in watching the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I would much prefer the Commanders to win. I don't know if that's heart or head. Mm-hmm. So I would prefer Commanders-Bills. The Chiefs aren't fun anymore, which is probably what Patriots were always kind of fun. They always gave you some good entertainment, and this past weekend's game was
That's what we think in New England. I'm not sure the country felt that way, but they played
really good Super Bowls, though, yeah, no matter what. True. Pats were always a good Super Bowl.
The Patriots.
Yeah, they were. They always were.
Yeah, the Patriots The Patriots gave good bowl. Always gave good bowl. But I think that I would much rather see the Bills there.
Yeah, same.
I mean, do you guys vote on fan bases? Do you root based on fan bases or based on the players?
Well, not always, but Philly really complicated. Like, I'm not going to root for Philly.
Yeah, it's hard to root for Philly, even though I like Saquon and Hurts and A.J. Brown and stuff. But I'm not going to root for Philly. So, yeah, sometimes it overrides it. But, no, Josh Allen is as easy a player to root for as there is in the league.
How could Joe Schoen still be working?
I don't know. Giants? Yeah, it's a tough go. That's a tough look.
It is indeed. Well, you got the line moving quite a bit. Commanders plus +6 in that game. Chiefs up to -2 in their matchup with Buffalo.
Feels like a tease.
It does indeed. It does indeed. Tommy Curran every Tuesday at high noon here on Jones and Keefe, a Tommy Tuesday. Check him out tonight on Quick Slants. Check him out on Thursdays on WEEI Afternoons. Now with Hart, Fitzy, and Ted Johnson.
Nice.
That'll be on Thursday. Tom, excellent as always. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See you soon.
Thank you.
Tommy Curran joining us here on a Tommy Tuesday, WEEI.